Hey, everybody, Zach here. Before we get started with the podcast, I just want to let you know about our sponsor, Anchor. We're new to podcasting here at Salty Saints, and Anchor has made it so easy for us to get started. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, so let me explain a little bit about it. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything that you need to make a podcast in one place. The best part about Anchor, though, is that it's absolutely free. So if you, like us, want to get your word out there, you want to try your hand at podcasting, make sure that you download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hey, thank you for listening to another episode of Salty Saints Podcast, where we hope to better equip you to be salt and light to your community and to spread the word about Jesus Christ to those around you. I am Zach, I'm your host, and today I am hanging out with my friend Jimmy Parker. He works with me here at New Hope Church, and he's always got something fun to say, likes to ask a lot of really good questions, so I thought he'd be great to get on here. Today, we are going to be attempting to talk about what church should look like. What should the church look like? And that is a pretty interesting topic. But before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Jimmy?
Yeah, 49-year-old husband, three kids ranging from 19 to 6. Grew up in Indianapolis on the somewhat northwest side. Moved to this area 15 years ago. Started working here at New Hope. It's been about 2.5 years. It's been a real blessing. Not what I expected in life, for sure. Thinking of where I was at your age and thought, there's no way that would be possible if somebody would have told me, here's your future. But here I am. Working at New Hope Church. It's been great.
Excellent. In all fairness, I mean, like 3 years ago, had you told me that I was going to be here, I probably would have laughed at you. So, I mean, a lot changes, you know?
Yeah. 3 weeks ago, somebody said you're doing a podcast. No.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. What do you do? What is your job title here?
Official title is Director of Facilities and Guest Services. So my role is to take care of the church or make sure somebody's taking care of something that it, something I can't do. That's the kind of Monday through Saturday main thing. And then Sunday gets more in the hospitality end of it throughout the week as well. But Sunday, it's a little more than the other days of the week. But managing, out, that's the right word. We have such great people. Greeters and making sure people we have not met before are greeted well, and we can make some connections for them and help them with their time here at New Hope and those sorts of things. But there's some of that throughout the week. But Sunday, usually, it's where it's a little more amped up because of the number of people coming in at one time.
For sure. And that's kind of a interesting focus there. You said on Sunday, you know, that's when it's amped up. That's when the majority of people are here. And I do want to kind of touch on that a little bit, but I guess the topic I guess we're trying to cover is like what should church look like? And I'm interested to hear just right off the bat without any prompting, what would you say to that question?
Here comes 30 minutes of questions.
That's good. Questions are good because that gives you something to chew on. And it doesn't probably look like we're going to come up with the exact answer of that in the next 30 minutes, but I hope that we can piece some things together that maybe some people haven't thought about before, or maybe you and I haven't even thought of before. I don't know, but like something. So the reason I ask this is because I look at church in the Western Hemisphere and it looks unhealthy to me. It looks very unhealthy to me. That's a controversial thing to say. Probably going to make a lot of people mad, but I don't think we are doing the best we could be doing. And so that's what prompted me to ask this. And I say we as in Christians, not we as in any particular church, but yeah.
So well, that is a hard one. I think the problem is we lose common ground, and there's certainly tenets of and truths of the Christian faith that don't change no matter what we're doing. So what does church look like? Well, there's a lot of variables in that. You know, what do you mean Sunday morning? Do you mean what we do when we're outside of the building, in the building,
right,
with our neighbors, with a group? I mean, there's 30 days of discussion. First of all, what church are we talking about? And so if we're talking about the church as a whole, you know, not the building.
Capital C Church.
Yeah. But, yeah. The church is wherever you are, your first act, and the lens you look through is the lens of Jesus in everything you're doing, which is seems pretty simple, and it is. So, but we live in a sinful world. We're sinners, and that quickly unravels. So what's good is we have these buildings or these spaces, these homes, these groups that we get back and kind of sharpen ourselves up again, hopefully with good friends and family that understand that. And we have this central thing, which we're looking for is Jesus, and gets us right back on track. And we know how to deal with the ups and downs of what we do. So I don't know if I'm getting to
no, you're, but, it's funny. You're but, actually covering a lot but, of the things I was going to kind of bring up. So
I mean, that's a very simplistic way of describing it.
Right. But it's kind of the heart of it.
Right. And then we muddy it up, and how do we do that?
Right. Well, that's just what people do, though. Right?
And then, you know, if we look at a different area, what a church looks like, well, if we're talking about what takes place in a building, well, that's really a lot of variety and a lot of personal preferences come into place. But I think the church, though, I mean, it has central things that make it what it is, and the very core, the very start and the end is God and Jesus. That's, and then it works out from there. And there's certain things with that, what we're taught in the Bible and what Jesus taught and how he lived, that we can't change that. Those are things that we have to, what do I say? That these are things we have to realize. This is what he said. This is what he set in place. These are the things that bind us together now as a church.
Right. Now, there are other things within that that are a little more hazy, a little more controversial. That's where we get all those denominations from.
Right.
But at the core of it, we do have to land on those same fundamentals.
Right.
I'm with you. Before, okay, so you're going into like everything I want to touch on, but we're kind of like, this is a good little like intro, because these are like little samplers, you know? But I kind of want to break it down and start like looking at that sort of piece by piece. So the first question I had is the church a building or the people? Because I think there's a lot of people that would land on either side of that. And I do believe there is a correct answer to this. But the thing that I looked up is the Greek word ekklesia is what we see as church so often. And it's a feminine noun, which is kind of funny because the church is also referred to as the bride.
Right.
So that's kind of an interesting little thing there. But it means a gathering of citizens from their home to a public place, or it's an assembly. And so the church, the word church in Greek means it's a gathering or it's an assembly. And so that right away tells me it's not the building. That tells me it's the people. The building is a place where they gather. But I'm curious what you would kind of throw in on that.
Yeah. I don't, there's nothing there I can add or take away. It is a group of people just somewhere over in the church's history. I mean, they've always met somewhere. Maybe they didn't have churches like, you know, of course, like what we have today, but they had places where they met,
right.
Whether somebody's home, a market, you know, down by the seaside, you know, there was always a place. It was probably less important to them.
Right.
Than it is now.
And that's kind of what I'm touching on.
Yeah.
So often today, I think we hear so many complaints. I mean, I've never been at a church that didn't have parts of the building that they were just, that like were held sacred to them, you know,
yeah.
Whether that be the carpet or the pews or the way the cross was hung or where the cross was hung or if there was a cross or, you know, where the organ sat. There's so many variables. And at the end of the day, they really don't matter. They're really not biblical things. They're not.
No, that's all preferences.
It's all preference.
And what you, either preferences or expectations, maybe what you grew up in, what you think you ought to see.
Right. And let me say, too, I don't mean to say that the cross is not a biblical thing.
Mm-hmm.
The cross is clearly a biblical thing, but it's a symbol of our faith. Jesus is present with us, whether that is hung or not. I was referring more to the carpet or pews. Or,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so
they're more preferences. They're more.
Oh, sure. I mean, I like to think that if and we've seen this, if you watch the news, if something happened to the church that you and I attend, I mean, you know, you could have a fire or something, that we wouldn't, as a body, cease to exist as that body. We would rally together and go, okay, well, we're going to meet here. We're going to get together here. You know, if not, then it is about the building, I guess.
Right.
But,
right.
You know, and that happens. I mean, churches, things happen to them for various reasons. They still meet. They still, that shouldn't stop us. And so that to me is just more tangible proof that it's not about the building and what's in it. It's about the people that make it up. I mean, that's what really comes down to what keeps you at a church. Talking about the building is not the building itself. There
but
might
the
be
people.
Things that are attracted to you, and you get into the preferences and things, but I think those are going to be short-lived if you're not
forming a relationship.
If you're not forming a relationship and getting some kind of communion or some kind of community with the people that are there, that's what's really going to.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, there's lots of things we think are neat now.
Right.
They get old and boring.
Right. I mean, just look at the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're not going to wait 30 years for it to come back around.
It's already back, man. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. No, I agree. So, yeah, kind of talking about. Preferences are kind of like traditions. They're man-made, you know. We kind of elevate them as these special things, and they are important. They're not a bad thing, but we can't let them get in the way of our mission, right?
Right.
And so my next question is, well, so if the church is the people, the church is the gathering, that can take place anywhere. That doesn't have to take place at a particular time or a particular place. And if that is the case, why do we put so much effort into Sunday morning and so little effort into everything else. And once again, I'm calling out everybody here. This is across the board. We look at Sunday morning like it's this elevated thing, which is, it's very much, it's the Sabbath. You know, that's what we're looking at there. But we're supposed to be that, we're supposed to be that every day. So why is it Sunday that gets all the attention?
I think, you know, I don't know this for sure, but I would think because of the Sabbath and what that means is there's a tradition there. And I think it's a good one. I think on the good side, it's, we have that time that we get together as a community that believe in certain things. And we come from, you know, different backgrounds, you know, different jobs, whatever. But here's a time that we're all together, different ages, that we get, hopefully, there's together we get to worship and we participate in that worship. I think the Sunday morning, at least for me, that's what needs to be first, the priority.
Okay.
Thank you, God, for today. I made it through this week.
Right.
I didn't do it on my own.
Right.
You know, the bad stuff that happened this week, I got through it.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
You know, I can't wait for this week. You know, that's very simplistic, but, you know, that let's be joyful at the time. And we're together doing that together.
Right.
And it brings us together, that community. There's just this thing that binds us together. And here's our chance as a group to worship and also, you know, at least spend an hour thinking about our lives, what our lives mean, you know, what direction we're going. I mean, just to set aside, you know, an hour isn't much, but
right.
It's better than nothing.
Right. But see, so that's what I'm wanting to address, though.
We get to spend that. I mean, a lot of times I might check out of what a song we're playing or whatever, but I'm, okay, Lord, what are you doing? I mean, I've thought about that. You know, I can remember moments. I'll tell you a time. In church, a church my wife and I were going to when we met and got married. At that time, I was kind of playing both sides of the fences. I was in the transformation of becoming a real Christian and not just one that states it. But I was very much still holding on to other parts of my life that were holding that part back.
Right.
Nothing necessarily bad. It was just priority of time, really.
Right.
You know, can't go to this. Can't go to church because there's a softball game that's really important, a tournament game. You know, those sorts of things. So right. It wasn't, you know, giving up drinking or going to church. It wasn't quite, but still, it was a distraction.
Right.
And holding me back.
Which, I mean, is equally
right.
Wrong, you know.
And I can remember sitting in this church and just this, not guilt, but just this question came over me. Okay, what are you going to do? And it wasn't a prompting for me. It's like, you have to make a decision. Because it wasn't good for me. It wasn't good for my wife. And really, it wasn't good for the other people, you know, I might have been involved with my life. Because I was trying to make everybody happy and wasn't making anybody happy because it was just little pieces. And I remember that morning, I can see it right now looking at the pastor. I said, I got to make a decision right now. What am I going to do? And I made, you know, fortunately, thank you, Lord, said, all right, my faith is going to have to take priority. And it did. And it worked out fine. I had to tell other people, you know, look, still want to be involved with this stuff, but if it becomes obstruction to my walk in faith, you know, can't do it. So that might mean, you know, something as simple as if we are winning in a softball tournament, Sunday morning, I won't be there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And it's not because going to church, I can check off the box, but I needed that, you know, because I knew if I didn't even just go to church, wasn't present in that community, the faith wasn't going to start growing. There was no water on the seed there.
Right.
So that's the good part of having a building or a place.
Right. And so I'm with you. I definitely think like having a place is important. Having a place where you can gather is huge. Having a time where you can gather is huge. My thing is, it's almost like we've put Sunday on a pedestal. Does that make sense? Like,
well, yeah.
Like that we don't see any other day of the week as a capable alternative. Like, but it's about us gathering.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I don't even know if that's anything new.
It's definitely not.
I can remember, and this might be a horrible example, but I remember hearing or seeing the documentary, something of, now the guy's name's slipping my mind, but he had a church of Satan. He's like one of the...
Anton LaVey?
Yes.
Yeah.
And one of the things he noticed was, because I think he worked in a carnival or he was something like that. Yep. So he'd see these guys, these people on Saturday nights, you know, living one lifestyle, and then Sunday morning see him at church, you know, begging for forgiveness, which is great on one hand, but then he'd see him again the next Saturday night.
Right.
So, you know, that seems like an odd thing to say.
No, it's not. No, you're making my point here. Is like something happens. There's some kind of disconnect after Sunday for so many people that it's like, well, I'm going to go live my life now for the next week.
Well, Monday happens and you get
right.
up. You get up to go to work and kids don't want to go to school and there's traffic and there's bad news. And, you know, maybe that's why the Sabbath is when it right. is. It's like the start of your week. You quickly just get back. It's very easy to get back into to get away from it.
Right.
So, but that is the bad, that is the downside. But I think you got to get yourself surround people that understand that and people that have lived it. You know, I know here at New Hope, I've met people that we'll talk about earlier in their life. You know, it was work, and it took a long time to realize, you know, that they missed out on a lot of things, mm-hmm. whether it was family or faith. And so hopefully those people are teaching right. others. Hey, look, that's not as important exactly. as you think it is right now.
Which that kind of brings me to the discipleship element.
Yeah.
I've got a few verses here, but one of them is Matthew 28:18-20. It says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" And so our commissioning is to go forth and make disciples.
Yeah.
That means we're to be disciplers.
Right.
Those who are already Christians or those who are more mature in the faith. But my thing is, like, we have to build each other up. We have to sharpen each other. And if we're not digging into that, kind of what you're saying here, you have to surround yourself with people who are like-minded, people who are also seeking God. And if you surround yourself with those people outside of Sunday, every day, you're not going to fall into that rut outside of that one day of the week. You're at least going to be less likely to. You know, you're making the right steps.
Yeah, but you have to have some sort of awareness that you need that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that's where it can get tricky. You have to be aware that you're lost.
Right.
Even when things are great.
Right.
And I think that's what makes witnessing, you know, which gets into disciples, makes it difficult. Because how do you tell your friend, same age, same background, doing well, family's good guy.
Right.
How do you tell him he's lost?
Right.
How do you convince him of that without losing your friendship, or he's looking at you like, what happened to you?
Right.
You know, that's been my experience. It's like some of the people that we have the exact same upbringing, you know, basically, you know, same income, same schools. You know, what happened that now I realized I needed God. I needed Jesus. I needed saved. How do you tell somebody they need that too? Which is easy on in theory, but there is a fear of,
you don't want to lose your friend. You don't want to look like you're pointing the finger, but that's also not what Christianity's doing. It's saving, you know?
Sure.
But it is exposing something. And so, I mean, without digging too deep on all this, because this could go.
And your intentions are great.
Right.
I mean, if your friend or even somebody you don't know knew what you were trying to do.
Right.
If they really understood.
Right.
That you're not, you know, I'm not doing it from my glory or go, look what I did. You know, here's what I'm really trying. I'm allowing God to use me to do this wonderful thing, more wonderful than really any of us know at this point till we're in our eternal kingdom, how great this is.
Right.
But it's still one of the hardest things.
Right. And for them, I don't think it's always so tangible for non-believers. And I think that kind of what I'm talking about earlier, where we've like our shortcomings as Christians is that needs to be more tangible. I think we've gotten a little timid. I think we've gotten a whole lot less zealous. I mean, if you look at from the first believers to now, what it took to get from there to here, I mean, how many people laid down their lives for what they believed in? I mean, died because they wanted to further this message. And today we're like, I kind of want to sleep in.
You know? Well, that might be it. Yeah.
And so,
certainly a Western.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think that's happening everywhere. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah. That's a life of comfort and security.
Right. And so that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, like the Western Hemisphere church. Like we definitely see things through a different lens than, say, someone living under a religious oppression in another country. We don't have that. And therefore, we've never really had to deal with it. But I read like verses that say, I can't remember the exact verse off the top of my head, but it says, you know, the church, they'll know you by your love for one another. And I don't see that like interdenominationally, I guess is what I'm saying. Like you look at, oh man, I mean, there's 37,000 denominations in the world, 37,000. That tells me we messed up because we're supposed to look like we love each other, but we just keep drawing more lines. You know what I mean? Like we just keep dividing and that's not what, where's our sense of trying to reconnect and build bridges? You know, I mean, if one denomination believes, oh, well, you know, you have to be submerged, and another one believes, oh, well, you can be sprinkled in baptism, you know, well, are we both now not, or is one of those not now a Christian? You know, like I don't know that we can do that. We're supposed to try and find that common ground. We're supposed to be believers together. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some beliefs out there that are clearly heretical and turn into this isn't Christianity anymore, but we have to be vigilant and seek that out. My point is, what are we doing in order to reconnect with groups that we might not have looked at as being on our side before? They believe in the same God, you know? What, they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. Why aren't we connecting? That's a big C question. Yeah. That's the big church. And look,
I don't have the answer for that one.
I don't have the answer either, but I want people to hear this and think about that and care about that because I know that we need to.
Yeah. Probably a lot of our differences though aren't as big as we think, or they're not
right.
They're not necessarily salvation issues, or you know, some of them might be preference or something a little deeper. I hope, you know, if a church down the street does baptism or communion or, you know, offerings slightly different, you know, hopefully that's not something that if we really had a crisis in this area that we couldn't get together, you know, work together because of those.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it equates to, you know, if we brought it down a little smaller, just United States of America, that that sort of that melting pot kind of thing. We're all sort of different, and people that come from other cultures bring things in. But at some point, I mean, they even have churches, but there's things that you if it's a melting pot, you melt into. You don't,
right.
You don't change. I mean, you can't change the teachings of Jesus, or you shouldn't be.
No.
Or the intent or the meaning.
No.
That's where the trouble begins. But so we look to this flag. I mean, that's what we're, when we look up the flag, that's what we're looking at. Here are the things we all believe in.
Right.
This is what binds us together as Americans. You know, and you can lay those things out.
But there are differences. That's why we have different political parties, but we can all still say we're Americans.
Yeah, it's the point A to point B.
Right.
Here's point B. This is where we want to be, who we want to be, where we want to go. At least in the center,
right?
We have differences on how to get there. So, and I think somewhat with the church, you know, we want to be in heaven,
right?
With Jesus. Okay, we're at point A. Now, he's laid out the groundwork for us on that one.
Right.
You know.
Right. Now, but there are differences on what that groundwork looks like.
Right.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, we have to land at the same core. And just like, I guess it's like these traditions that we put up, and everyone has them. It doesn't matter what group you belong to. I mean, we've all got them. And it's like, we got to be able to navigate through those to get back to, okay, I don't care if you're a Nazarene or a Baptist or
you're
a Catholic or whatever. Like, it just, we all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for our sins. That's the heart of the church. The church is where two or more gather in the name of God. He's present, you know? And so, yeah, I think we need to see that reconnecting. I got into an argument on Facebook. Imagine that.
great place to do that.
And I saw this shirt, and I thought it was really cool. So I clicked on the picture, and it was like the American Sign Language hand signal for love. So kind of, you know, that's a controversial symbol, I guess.
So I'm trying to figure out how did this turn into a...
Oh, just wait. So it was that hand, but it had a nail, like a hole from a nail mark in the middle of the palm. So it's clearly supposed to be Jesus's hand. And it says, this is for everyone. That's all it said. Okay. So it's saying Jesus's love is for everyone. That's what the shirt says. And
there is
an extensive argument going on in the comment section about how this hand signal is the devil horns. And I'm like, no, it's the American Sign Language symbol for love. And so these people are like, well, no, it's too close. It's too close to the devil horns. And it's like, no, what? Like, how are you going to let this thing, like, God's working all things for the good. He's making all things new. How are we drawing more lines on a symbol that literally means love, and we're saying it's a bad thing? Like, we're looking for things to be mad about. And I mean, these were Christians arguing. They said they were. I don't know.
Did you buy the shirt?
No, it was only $10. I still might, but but that's my point. Like, we just keep putting up these walls. We just keep looking for reasons to say, you're wrong, that's not right. And it's like, well, why aren't we sharpening each other? Why aren't we loving each other? Like, and I'm not saying we're not. Don't take this as the church has failed. The church has not failed. The church is winning. The church is God's. It will prevail. That's biblical. That's happening. But Could we be doing a little better job in some areas? Absolutely. That's sanctification. Let's make it happen. That's sharpening. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I like this is like
hopefully those are, that's kind of an outlier though. But yeah, you do get into that. And I don't know what causes that. What it's like really?
I think it's a lack of education on scripture. I think we have to bring it back to the heart of like I don't read my Bible as much as I should. I know most Christians don't. Like I try. I really do, but then like things get in the way, you know? And I think we have to prioritize scripture and knowing the context and knowing why what was said. You and me were talking about this yesterday. But like just knowing the context of what scripture says, who it was being written to, why it was being written to them, rather than just taking what it says and then using it in whatever context you think it applies to, because that's dangerous, you know?
Yeah. On the good side, though, of getting back to traditions, I think there is a good side because those are somewhat of some basis for us as individual churches or even larger groups that we use to bring us together to look forward from. You know, it's same in your family. You have traditions that you do. Some might even just be outright silly, you know, holiday traditions or something you do every year. But those are things that bring you together, that give you some common things.
Something to bond over.
Yeah. Where they become troublesome is that you use the tradition to replace or they keep you from moving forward I mean, there's some traditions that change over time or go away. Certainly as you get older, anybody can think about this. I think about this with our family. You know, a few years ago, we had a tradition of going to these certain places on Christmas. Well, people get older. If people in your family die, there might be divorce. And all of a sudden, those what you thought were traditions have changed or gone away completely.
Right.
So you start a new tradition.
Right.
You know? That lasts for a little while. Then your kids get older and
they
go away to college and they got different plans.
Well, it happens very much the same way in the church.
Right. So there's some traditions in the church that probably happen that over time need to go away if they're holding up. I mean, if you're fighting to hold on to this tradition that probably has no value anymore.
Right.
You know, that's where they get
in
trouble. And I certainly understand that to some point because there are things that brought you together that you love
and it's important
and you have great memories of.
There's almost a nostalgia attached to it.
Yeah, can be. And so when that goes away, you know, I can see where I'm not kind of. Nostalgia is a big part of me.
You love it.
Yeah, I do. I do. But, you know, a lot of some things just don't last. And, you know, but you find new things. So, you know, and people look. And I think part of it is people in memory. I've heard this like with vacations that when you pull, there was some poll done with people after they took vacation. And their memories of how fun the vacation was pulled a lot higher than it pulled when the questions were asked of people during the vacation.
So it got better once they stopped.
You and your family went to Yellowstone and a month later you're talking about it. Oh, it was great. We saw this and all that.
Right.
You forget about though that, you know,
all the minor inconveniences.
Yeah. Right. You know, guys all stopped the restroom, but one didn't. Then you had to stop, you know, or, you know, all these things. And so it's the same. I think maybe this is a horrible, not very valuable thing, but I think the same way that, you know, I've heard with New Hope, where we go to church, that this church was a group of families that were at another church. They got together. I don't really remember the reasons why, but there for a time, they met at a school. So they'd have to set it up. They'd have to do all the work, all of them. There was no maintenance guy or this pastor or worship. I mean, they did it. And their memory of that is great, you know, because they all had to work together. And that bound them together, and they have great memories of that. And then they started this church, and, you know, they didn't have somebody doing the work for them. They got together. So they have great memories of these things and things they got started. And so it's very, looking back, they're makes them very happy to think about those things, which they should. So over time, when some of those things kind of go away or whatever, you know, you want to hold on to that.
But to grow, I mean, sometimes things have to change. I mean,
oh, sure.
Exactly.
And I'm not picking on anybody here that started. But I get that.
Oh, absolutely.
I get that. And that's not really too big of a – it's not really a problem. But traditions do change.
Right. We just can't get so stuck in our own personal, and I mean each individual. Everyone looks at this same church. How many members do we have here right now?
It's
a lot.
Yeah.
It's hundreds, you know.
Right.
Each one of those people, when they come here, see something different. They all see this through a different lens. It is something different to every one of those people. And we can't let that become what we think church is.
Right.
Church is still, at the end of the day, it's the gathering of people that believe in Jesus Christ. It is it's making disciples. It's discipling. It's sharpening one another. It's all these different people. I guess this kind of plays into that. That kind of different view that everyone has benefits the body. You know, one is an ear, one is an arm, you know, we're the body, the church is a body. The verse, 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, "What then, brothers, when you come together, each one has a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up." It's each person's got something different to bring to the table, but we're all working to grow the church. And I hope that we can start building that outward and reconnecting with other even denominations of the faith that see differently, or just even within our own church, seeing people that don't think the same as us and saying, well, you know, you're still my brother. You know, you're still my brother in Jesus, even though we see this small detail differently, you know?
Yeah, and I've found for myself, especially the last couple of years, and I don't know why now, but as I've gotten older, it's easy. We've talked about this. It's very easy to get into an echo chamber of, you know, things that you read on, research on to feed what you already believe. So I found, hey, I want to go hear what the opposite side of whatever is saying. And a lot of times I'm like, oh, I didn't think about that. That is a different perspective. Even with, I may disagree with about everything else they say, but okay, I got one good nugget out of that. And then that leads to something else.
Right.
And hopefully that works the opposite way too with people. So yeah, you know, we're currently in this pandemic and there's other things going on in the country that, yeah, this is time for churches to get together and not worry about the differences and what do we have in common.
Right.
Let's get together. What can we do for our communities, the people that live in our neighborhoods and build from there. And some of these differences we have are no big deal.
Well, it would probably help us grow. I mean, Jason has mentioned a million times that friction is what sharpens something. You know, like when we talk about iron sharpening iron biblically, that's friction. Friction is what's sharpening. So it's that difference. I mean, it's that tricky situation. It's that navigating through those tough waters. That's where you grow. And so being around people that don't think like you, that don't see like you, it helps you grow, whether that means you become more firm in your belief that you already held, or maybe that belief changes a little bit, or something is added to it, something's taken away. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, I think we get stuck in those echo chambers, kind of like you're saying. We kind of make 37,000 different bubbles.
You know, you think of the number of churches you see in an area. Is there really there might be a few, but most problems if the churches were all really working together, could really make a difference in those.
You could knock it out of the park, man. I mean, if everybody came together.
Some things are hard and difficult and take a long time, a lot of commitment. But, okay.
Well, I mean, look at an Amish community. Yeah. They can put up a barn in a day. It's unreal. I mean, have you ever watched those time-lapse videos? Yeah. Imagine if when something happened, every church came together and just said, all right, we're going to get this done. You know, like.
And that's what's going to take, though, really. And I mean, take a huge one, homeless.
Yeah.
There's no easy solution to that. I can't think of a church that could figure that out. I don't know if 20, but if a lot of churches got together.
Right.
You'd have a lot of talents, a lot of experience, and did it the right way, or, you know, in a loving way and a commitment. What kind of difference could we make in central Indiana?
Right.
Or anywhere. But that's the hard part.
Right.
You need a champion of that
and champions
to pull that together. But yeah, and our differences are then minor.
Right.
I mean, they really are. I mean, if somebody comes in to New Hope and they like hymns and not the music to hear. Okay.
Great.
All right. I hope, brother, you find that church, and if that's the way you're going to connect with God and the community of believers, okay.
Right.
You know, that's fine.
I think we need more of a mentality like that. Yeah. We got to quit looking at churches as a business. We got to quit looking at it like, well, we need butts in seats so we make money. It's no, we need people connecting with Jesus. That's what we need.
And then the other stuff that we get caught up in just falls into place.
Absolutely.
Anyways.
Absolutely. So, yeah. No, I think we tackled quite a bit, man.
I don't know.
No, look. I didn't say we answered questions. We definitely didn't do that. But we pondered things, and that's what the point of this was. I just wanted to lay some kind of controversial, weird things out on the table, some that get talked about, some that don't, and just kind of navigate those a little bit. I want to read this verse from Ephesians 2:19-22. It says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." And so with everything we just kind of mentioned, I hope that people will listen to this and think, how can I start reaching out and growing with people who love Jesus that I might not see eye to eye with? Because he's our cornerstone. And from that, we're being built into a holy temple.
Yeah. Just real quick, and reading that verse, there are certainly movements that have happened historically in the world that started with a very small group of people. Mm-hmm. You know, the abolitionists. You know, there's several examples of very small groups that started big movements. You know, so there's no reason the church, the body, couldn't do that either.
Absolutely. I mean,
that's not a question. That's absolutely. What we can do.
Well, and to solidify that point, the Christian church is it the biggest religion in the world today?
I think so.
I believe it is. If not, it is one of. But you have to understand, it started with 12 Jewish guys. I mean, like 13, I guess. But from that, just blood, sweat, tears, lives laid down, families split. It was tough, but they turned this into the biggest religion in the world. And why can't we gain that zeal today? We can. We just have to figure out how. And so, yeah, I hope that listening to this blesses whoever's listening to it. Thank you, Jimmy, for hanging out with me.
Hey, thank you.
Just kind of spitballing with me. And, yeah, so thank you guys for listening, and stay salty.
Our world can feel chaotic and uncertain. But we don't have to live enslaved to fear. Christ has promised me and you his peace, and throughout Scripture has provided powerful tools and practical steps to help us experience greater freedom. I'm Jennifer Slattery, lead host of the Faith Over Fear podcast, inviting you to join me and my team as together we learn how to starve our fears and feed our faith. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com or wherever you access podcast content.